Hello, everybody, and welcome to the WDW Main Street Podcast. This podcast is being brought to you by Elite Vacation Homes. If you need a home for your next Disney or Universal vacation, contact Elite Vacation Homes at elitevacationhomes.com. Show is also being brought to you by American Tourist Travel. Let us book your next Disney vacation, Universal vacation, or any other vacation you can dream of at americantouristtravel.com. Show is also being brought to you by Scooter Vacations. If you need a scooter for Disney World, Universal Studios, or anywhere else in the Central Florida area, contact Scooter Vacations at scootervacations.com. And our last sponsor is David's Vacation Club Rentals. If you want to stay at the Boardwalk, the Yacht and Beach Club, the Wilderness Lodge, the Animal Kingdom, Old Key West, Saratoga, you know them all, guys. Contact David's Vacation Club Rentals at dvcrentals.com. And now on with the show. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the WDW Main Street Podcast. I'm joined, as always, by my good buddy, Dan. Hey, Dan, pull up your stool.
Hey, Doug, how you doing today?
I'm doing very well. I'm getting a little healthier since the surgery. I'm happy. I'm ready to move forward and get back to work.
Awesome. Good to be back in the saddle, like you said.
Absolutely. I was out roaming around today. I bid a couple jobs. I got some prices on a couple of remodel jobs I'm doing. I went to look at the materials I'm going to need. And I actually ran by the mall to I had to stop at the mall for something for my wife. And I ran in and I go in the mall and I look and my Disney store's closed.
Uh-oh.
I started to shed a tear, and then I looked across the other side, and a brand new one had opened up. Here they moved across the hall into a store twice the size.
Awesome. So, and point it was, of sadness turned happiness.
Absolutely. Happiness. Yeah. And I was like in my happy place, because the way they remodeled it, it reminds you of actually one of the it's in the park. Like, even the cash register now reminds you of a lot of the stores at the parks.
Yeah, I think they converted them over. They call them castle stores or something like that. They've been doing that for a couple of years. So, yeah, your mall must have finally got around to the quote-unquote renovation.
Yeah, we're all one of our local malls, the complete mall got completely remodeled. So it was a major upgrade, but it was so cool. They got the little TV area where the cartoons were playing, but they even have an old rack. Me and my wife's going back this week, and we're going to go out to dinner this weekend at one of the restaurants there because she wants to see it.
Yeah.
And my niece's birthday, we want to pick my niece up a couple things. And but she wants to see it. But they have a whole big rack of adult T-shirts, Dan.
Unbelievable.
I almost passed out. It was pretty cool. They had a couple Marvel T-shirts. They had some Cars T-shirts. So they were only like $12, Dan.
Wow. I mean, I've been saying for years, that's all they need to do is just throw out a little adult stuff, and they'd bring in so much more foot traffic. Like, you might go there once in a while if you knew they have adult stuff, right?
Yeah, I mean, once a month, maybe go grab a 12-hour T-shirt just to bring a little magic home with you.
Yep.
They don't have to be spending much, and then they have some mugs and different things like notepads, and like there's actually some things that an adult would want.
Right.
So it was really cool to. It'll be fun for me just to roam through and maybe grab something once in a while and give me a little of my magic at home.
Yep, in between trips, that's how I used to fill my time with pin collecting, but just going to the Disney store. And then when they went to pretty much all children, that was taken from me. So I missed the Disney store in that regard.
Well, I think Disney took them all back over now again, didn't they?
Yes, they so own them.
Yeah, so I think that's why I wasn't sure. I knew they bought them back, but I wasn't sure if they got all of them. You know how that works.
Yeah. It was the children's place that owned them for a while, and then they bought them back. But for a while, even the district, the president of the Disney Club, he was on record of saying that their target audience was children 3 to 12 or something like that. So they made no bones about it, you know, when everybody was complaining about the lack of adult merchandise and collectibles and all that stuff. They said, you know, this is our sweet spot. These are our, you know, customers we're going to focus on. And they, as you know, they pretty much eliminated all, you know, adult merchandise from the stores.
Well, what I'm happy about is it does have some adult stuff. There's some cooking, like glasses.
Yeah.
There's just odds and ends. There might be something there for me, and it gives me my little bit of Disney fix, and I'm glad it has a little blue road that goes through it, and like you said, the castle. And
yep.
And then there's a bunch of Star Wars stuff in there, Dan. I mean, I don't know, but the store was probably 30% Star Wars.
Yeah, we have it's not a Disney store, but it's a Disney Outlets. I don't know if you've ever been to them. They're owned by the Disney store, not the outlets like down in Florida from the parks. But yeah, their truck, when I went in there, one side was all red with Marvel, Iron Man and stuff like that. And then the other side was all Star Wars stuff. So I know exactly what you mean.
Yeah, so it was actually cool to see some stuff that, even though I'm not going to buy it, it just gives me, just seeing it makes me think I'm at the parks. I could like imagine I'm there a little bit.
Absolutely. A little bit of magic.
So also why I was out today, because now I got this surgery behind me and I could start looking forward to maybe planning my next Disney trip, because that's what was holding me up.
Right.
You know, I was kind of in limbo with that, so I'm hoping to book my trip. So I went out and bought my Walt Disney World Bible, the Burn Bombs book.
Oh, jeez.
It's the latest I've ever bought it since 97. I can still remember, Dad, back in 1997, when me and my wife were in the Hamilton Mall, we planned our very first trip.
Right.
And we bought the Burn Bombs book. We went over to Ruby Tuesdays. I could still see the window seat we sat in, and we opened it up and started reading through that book. And it was like pixie dust came flying out of the book then.
Oh, yeah. Those books are awesome. I mean, the pictures and, you know, even if you've been 100 times, it's still, you know, it's just nice to read that stuff. And I'm impressed that you've kept your streak alive. So you've bought one each and every year since 97?
I'm sitting in my home office right now, and I have 5 of them within earshot.
Nice.
They've always been with me. They've always been, you know, my main reading material. Like, even now that with all the internet and the podcast that we do and everything else, there's still nothing like me just putting this Burn Bomb book in my hand and leaning back and just looking through it every once in a while.
Yeah,
puts me in another happy place.
Yeah, there's something to be said for that tactile feel that, you know, you're right. You're scrolling through a website isn't the same as having the, you know, the book or the magazine in your hands. I miss that too. You're right. It's nothing like it.
Oh, absolutely. Because speaking of that, like I just put out the new e-brochure that I put on our website for booking trips for us for American Tourist Travel, for me booking your Disney vacation. You've seen the one I put on our Twitter account.
Yes. Yep.
Well, I made that up on the Disney site. Well, and the reason that came about again is they no longer are going to be producing standard brochures from Walt Disney World. They still do Disneyland and the Cruise Line, but they're no longer doing Disney World. Everything's going to have to be e-brochures that we make up and they'll ship them out to you. There's not going to be a standard one anymore.
Huh.
Which really has Sandy, the owner, upset because she's old school. And there's a lot of seniors and stuff that come in. There's a lot of people that want to have the text. We have little kids that come in and just want a magazine, if you follow.
Yeah, just something to bring home with Mickey Mouse on it and the resorts, and they can look through. I get it. But, you know, then again, with all the, you know, environmental people and trees and all that stuff, I mean, we're heading that way. It's just, you know, if you're caught in the middle, like you just said, if you're still on the old system, paper and pen, you know, that's going to be tough to swallow. But a few years down the road, unfortunately, the whole world's going to be like that.
Oh, absolutely. And it's sad because I do all the ordering for the office for the brochures and everything, mm-hmm. and she was totally upset that she goes, Doug, they haven't came. I said, because they ain't sending that.
Right.
So, but I came up with the idea for us to go through and review the Burn Bombs book.
We're going to...
And go over there, because what they do is they rate Burn Bombs best, it's called.
Oh, okay.
And I think it would be fun to go through the book, and we'll read them off, and we'll see if we agree, disagree, and go from there. How's that sound?
Sounds like a plan.
So let's get started. The first one is they do the resorts. And they give you the three best best resort in each category.
Okay.
The best deluxe, the best moderate, and the best value.
All right.
So I'm going to let you guess, because I know you don't have one sitting in front of you of this actual park.
Okay.
So what do you think they picked as best deluxe?
Best deluxe, I'm going to go with the Contemporary.
You would be wrong.
Oh.
The best deluxe actually is the Yacht Club.
Now, I never, that would have been near the last. Not that I think the Yacht Club is a bad resort, but I would have thought that the Pauly would have been up there. Certainly the Contemporary, two of the, opening day resorts, if you will. But yeah, the Yacht Club.
How they word it is, in addition to the picturesque setting, this resort is all about location. For starters, you can walk to Epcot and to the studios if you're feeling ambitious. Of course, you can always take a water taxi. You're a short stone's throw away from excitement at the bustling boardwalk entertainment district, but you get to enjoy a relative relaxing piece of life on a quiet side of Crescent Lake. Excellent dining options abound, and a Stormalong Bay pool area is tops. We enjoy the beach club too, but Yacht Club is a bit quieter, and there is more rooms with full balconies. Honorable mentions, Contemporary and Polynesian Village.
Okay.
So they gave you the other two as honorable mentions.
Yeah, it's kind of tough when you have such great resorts that, you know, any of them are, you know, would all be happy to stay in any time. So I guess, you know, you got to give them props for that, that, you know, any of them, choosing any of them is fine. But my personal preference, I wouldn't have had Yacht Club up as number one, certainly.
No, me neither. I'd have probably had Animal Kingdom, but that's me.
Yeah, see that? And nobody even mentioned that, so.
Exactly.
Go figure.
Moderate.
All right. Okay. What are they going to pick for the best moderate? Best moderate. Let's go with Coronado Springs.
Wrong. Port Orleans Riverside, buddy.
That would have been too easy. That would have been a layup. That's my choice for number one moderate resort, but I was trying to figure how they were going to play it.
Nope, they picked Riverside. One need not to be a Southern aristocrat to live like one. Many of the guest buildings at this resort, formerly known as Dixie Landing, was designed to look like historic mansions. Even the food court has a certain Southern ambiance. There's a table service restaurant and a cozy lounge, which many may offer entertainment. Kids enjoy dropping their hooks into a fishing hole, strictly catch and release, and splashing in the free-form pool on Old Man's Island. Pretty gardens and relatively reasonably priced add to the appeal. Honorable mentions, Caribbean Beach. They didn't even pick Coronado, too.
Wow. Yeah, it's interesting. Now, maybe I just don't understand this. So this Birnbaum book, and I'm familiar with it, I've bought many over the years as well, it's not affiliated with Disney in any way, right? Disney just gives them the rights to produce it. Is that it?
Well, they're the official guide.
Okay.
It's the official guide of Walt Disney.
All right. No, reason. So, yeah, and the reason I find that interesting, like they mentioned Dixie Landings in the write-up about Port Orleans Riverside, and, you know, you would think where Disney went through great lengths to change the name and, you know, the reasons mm-hmm. they did that, you know, they wouldn't want it mentioned in the little write-up there. But maybe they don't have, control over what Birnbaum actually puts in the book.
Yeah, I don't know, but it is the official guide, and I know they get all the ins and out. They get pictures. They get access to behind the scenes
yep.
and everything else. So.
Oh, it's an awesome book.
I love this book. Value Resort, my friend.
All right. I'll go with All-Star Music.
I think that was a condescending pick myself.
No.
I thought you would go Pop Century, but actually they picked Art of Animation.
That's not a bad pick. I somewhat agree with that. Mm-hmm. I've never stayed at Art of Animation, and you're right, Pop Century. I answered without really thinking it through, but again, I'm trying to anticipate how they're looking at this. So with them, the largest of the value resorts, I thought they might have chosen one of the, music sports or music sports or what's the third one? Music sports and...
Oh, and music and movies.
Movies, there you go. But I would be wrong.
Yes, you would be. This colorful value property has some of the boldest and brightest themings around and top-notch food court. But what sets it apart is the stunning big blue pool and the adjacent splash zone. The family suites are a true value. We're particularly fond of the Cars-themed accommodation, but all areas get thumbs up. Honorable mention, Pop Century. The thing I want to do is, we thought about doing a split stay next trip, and I'm thinking about maybe doing a split stay, only we're leaning towards staying Riverside the whole week.
Right.
But we're thinking about doing a split stay. I'm going to try to, because there's a few rooms at Animation that are standard rooms.
Oh, really? I didn't even realize that.
Yeah, they have two buildings full of standard rooms that are regular value rooms that aren't the suites.
Right.
Because what happens is, remember there was a few buildings already built?
Yep.
Well, they didn't change them out.
Because
all the plumbing, everything else was done. all the buildings that were added became values the suites.
Yeah, the ones that were already up were kind of specked out like the Pop Century, right? That was supposed to be an extension of Pop Century, so that would make sense.
Exactly. So what we're going to try to do is, if I can, because it's hard to do, but I'm going to try to get a standard room over there just to experience it, because I never got to stay here either. And I think that'll be a pretty good idea. What do you think?
Stay out of animation, get to experience that great food court that everybody raves about, and all of the different scenery around the buildings with the Pixar movies. That would be awesome.
Yeah, I'm thinking about doing it just to give it a try. To, again, if I can't get it, we're probably going to stay at Riverside, because with my discount, it's so worth it.
Right.
Wow. If I can, to experience the change and have more to report on and stuff like that, I think it would be nice if me and Brenda stayed there 2 or 3 days.
Yeah. Well, I'll believe it when I see it as your trip gets closer. I know how much you love Riverside. Even if you can get out of animation, it'll be interesting to see if you pull the trigger.
I think I will.
All right. We'll see.
So what we're going to do now is I'm going to roam through the parks, and I'm going to give you what Burn Bombs considers their best.
Okay.
Throughout each of the resorts.
Each
of the parks.
Each of the parks. Now, are we talking attractions or everything?
Attractions. Okay. Just attractions.
All right.
See, like the first one through, I've already gone through Swiss Family Treehouse, Walt Disney's Enchanted Tiki Room, the Magic Carpet Atlanta. It shows you every single absolute ride and attraction in each park. And so the first thing that gets a Burn Bonds best is Pirates of the Caribbean.
I have to 100% agree with that. If you're going, if you're going to Disney World, that's one of the must-see. That's an attraction that screams Walt Disney World. And if you haven't ever been there, you probably heard about Pirates of the Caribbean.
Absolutely.
So I agree.
Absolutely. Then, so that's one. Number two that they have is Splash Mountain.
Yeah, I would agree with that, too. One of the four mountains. Space, Splash, Big Thunder, or even Mine Train now. Any of them four, I think, would, an appropriate, number one.
They have Big Thunder on there as a Burn Bomb's best. They don't have the Hall of Presidents, which I'm very shocked at, which I think it should. I honestly think that should be.
Right.
I was watching that the other day on recording.
Yeah.
And what it was is Ellen DeGeneres had this girl on her show.
Yeah.
And this little cutie, she's like 5 or 6 years old. And she's in that range. And she knows everything about the presidents. It's amazing what she knows about the presidents. Well, Ellen sent her to Disney World, and she got to see the Hall of Presidents.
Oh, nice.
And when it was playing, I couldn't believe how awesome it was. I just wanted to see it again, so I had to go turn a YouTube video on to watch it.
To get your Hall of Presidents fixed, right?
Yes, exactly. I had to get my Hall of Presidents fixed.
Nice.
And it's just an awesome show, and I think it should be a Burn Bonds best. The technology of that at its time was one of a kind.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And it's, we've said many a times, it's once you get into the show and everything, it's pretty moving and, a tribute to the presidency of the United States. And, you put your politics aside and respect the office of the president and all that stuff. And, it's an awesome show, no doubt about it.
Absolutely. The other ones are the Haunted Mansion, of course.
Agree.
Space Mountain.
Even though it's not a favorite of mine, I have to agree. That's,
yeah, I agree with it, too. You're probably not getting me on it again unless I get the Fountain of Youth.
Right.
Yeah, Peter Pan.
Yeah, I could see that.
Especially with the enhanced queue now.
Yep.
And the many Adventures of Winnie the Pooh.
Yeah, not for me.
Yeah, I hear you. I would have Hall of Presidents over that. Seven Dwarfs Mine Train.
Absolutely.
Which I get that.
Yeah.
And last but not least, but I think it is least, I like it, but I don't get it. I don't think it should. Do you think it should be Buzz Lightyear Space Ranger Spin?
No.
Don't you think Hall of Presidents should be Burn Bonds best over that?
Give me the TTA over that.
Absolutely. but that's us.
Right.
Have that one in the train, too. They should both be on there, in our opinion.
Well, let's face it. Toy Story is a hugely popular franchise, so I can get why they it's hard to know.
I like Buzz, but I just don't see it a best over the over Hall of Presidents, or I would take Carousel of Progress, but I know nobody else
is. Right, or the Country Bears, right?
Yes. And then they also have Birnbaum's Best, Make Sure You See Wishes Fireworks.
I agree.
And Fantasy Festival of the Fantasy Parades. They rate as the best. And then they have Old School Best. When it is showing, don't forget the Main Street Electrical Parade.
Right, that's what I was going to say. The Main Street Electrical Parade, I'd definitely take over Festival of Fantasy.
That was the first parade I ever seen. We were sneaking around the park trying to avoid it, but it was awesome. It took my breath away.
Yep.
The first time we were down there in 97, it was the year they brought it back. Remember, it was gone for a while.
Yeah.
Well, everybody told us it was gone for a while.
Right, right.
So.
Now, that is an awesome parade.
So now let's head over to Epcot.
Right.
And I think we're going to totally disagree here.
Okay, we will see.
Sorry, guys. I got served a drink at the bar, and I had to wet my whistle before I continue to read. Is that okay? So I walk in, and the first thing that shocks me is we're in Future World.
Okay.
Spaceship Earth don't have any Birnbaum's Best written on it.
Uh-oh.
that did not make me happy.
No, no. Honorable mention?
No, nothing.
Wow.
Well, what they do is they put this sticker, it's like a stamp.
Right.
And it's right next to each, because it shows this book, guys, I highly recommend it if you're going to the parks. It's so fun to sit down and I remember reading this, the one year with my nephew, Jimmy, going through my godson. It was so awesome. I mean, the pictures are awesome, and there's all these hot tips in here.
Yeah.
Like this one says, hot tip. Intervention Plaza is home to Penn Central. This area between Interventions East and West is the pin trading headquarters for Epcot. Of course, there are many other pin trading locations throughout Walt Disney World. So they have these hot tips everywhere.
Right, right.
You know, so, and then like this one. The line for Spaceship Earth is usually quite long during the early morning hours and relatively short late in the afternoon. That's because Future World's open first.
Right.
So skip that and come back. But they have all these tips. But stamped here, unstamped is Spaceship Earth, but stamped is Turtle Talk with Crush.
Ugh, that's tough. I mean, yeah, I guess.
And I'm not criticizing Turtle Talk, but it's not better than Spaceship.
I guess if you're 6 or 7, you would agree with Birnbaum on this one. But if you're, you know, a teenager on up, I think Spaceship Earth would win 9 times out of 10 if you put it to a vote.
Exactly. And then we keep going through the Land Pavilion. Yeah, Living with the Land don't have a Birnbaum's Best. The Seas with Nemo attraction don't. Then we come over and good old Soarin' does. That's a Birnbaum's Best.
Yeah, I agree with that.
And then I can't believe Captain EO's still in this box.
Wow.
I can't get away from Captain EO.
Wow.
But there's no Birnbaum's Best there. Test Track has Birnbaum's Best.
I agree
but
with that.
Mission Space doesn't. Figure that one out.
Well, Mission Space, I don't think should.
I was being condescending on that one.
Okay.
Yes. Mission Space doesn't have one. I don't think it deserves one. I think it breaks Disney's heart that it don't.
No. No, I totally agree. They wish it had a stamp on it.
But no, there's no Birnbaum's Best there. And believe it or not, Ellen's Universe of Energy, which I agree with, gets Birnbaum's Best.
I totally agree with that. I really enjoy that attraction, as antiquated as it is, and the audio animatronic of Ellen is, you know, need some work and all that, but I just have always enjoyed that. That was one of the attractions when we first started going to Disney World that, I don't know, it just, the ride vehicle is cool, the way you go in through all the show scenes, and then when you come to the end and you have the movie there, I don't know, it's just, I just always have enjoyed that, and I still do, to be honest.
I love Universe of Energy, I always will. I like Ellen DeGeneres, so she cracks me up. So, and I just like the ride. It's a good old dark ride to me. That's very educational.
Exactly.
I really, really like it.
Yeah, I know our good buddy Bob Sycon would like to see it go, or at least rethemed, I believe, is what he is going for. But I just hope that, you know, eventually they'll get around to doing something with it. They have to. I hope it stays, or they keep the, you know, Universe of Energy theme and, you know, redo it in some way that, you know, harkens back to the version we have now. I hope they just don't gut it out and put a new
Yeah, I love Universe of Energy. I'll go on that ride. I don't really care if they change it. I know Bob wants it changed, but I'll always go on that ride. I'll always like that ride, and back always means something to me.
Yeah, and I like Jamie Lee Curtis myself too, so
there you go.
Another
then.
Plus.
So you're what do you like, Trading Places? You like that movie Trading Places, I bet.
No, I know you and I disagree on this. I'm a big horror buff. I love the horror movies. So
Oh, okay.
I remember her from Halloween and all that stuff. So
Yeah, I'm the guy that refuses to pay to get scared.
Yeah, I know. You told me if anybody sneaks up and tries to scare you, you'll punch them in the face.
That's if they're lucky.
You did say that.
They're lucky if that's all they get.
Right.
So let's head over to World Showcase.
My favorite place.
Yes. And there's not a lot of Burn Bonds Best in World Showcase. There's none at Canada. And not saying they don't like it. Like, they cover everyone. They talk about Phineas and Ferb, World Showcase agent, which is pretty cool. Impressions de France is the first one they give a Burn Bonds Best to in World Showcase.
The France, the French movie. Hmm.
Yeah, they really like that.
Yeah, well, I mean, in pavilions that don't have attractions, I guess, you know, you either got to talk about the restaurants or the, you know, the retail stores or, you know, whatever offering they have. And in this case, you have a movie.
Yeah.
I mean,
It's a nice little article. They say the 18-minute film takes viewers on a trip through France. The film shows off beautiful tree-dotted estates, fields and vineyards, harvest time, and a flower market and pastry shop, a glazier, and it covers everything. You know, it flies over to, you know, like any of them. It's like a promotional video, go see France.
Right.
And it's shot very well. It does make me want to go get some baguettes afterwards. What about you? Some pastries.
Yeah, it makes me want to get some wine and some escargot.
There you go, buddy. You like snails, huh?
No.
Yeah. But we move through. There's none in Morocco, but it says hot tip. Don't try to fit all the World Showcase movies into one day, especially if you're traveling with kids. Believe me, I know. Traveling with me, I don't want to see all the movies in one day. The kids.
They're a bit much. That I agree.
Now, they did do this right. Unlike our good buddy Pat, who didn't list it as his must-do.
Uh-oh.
Burn Bonds Best list The American Adventure as a must-do.
Yeah, I mean, to me, that goes without saying. I mean, the fact, even though it's the World Showcase, I mean, let's face it, the United States is the centerpiece of the pavilion, and that attraction in itself, like we've said 1,000 times, you know, it does give kind of a cleaned-up version of the history of our country, but it's very, it's entertaining, it's very moving, and it's a must-see, whether you're from the United States or any other country, for that matter. I agree with Birnbaum on this one.
Absolutely. To me, it's one of the best throughout the parks, period. You know, it's my one of my happy places.
Absolutely.
You know, and it's in the Great Frontier, right next to the Hall of Presidents.
This is true.
So that's it for Birnbaum's Best at Epcot. They don't have too many there, do they?
No. I was ready for you to just get cranked up. Eat to the Beat concert series, nothing.
No, they have Illuminations, of course.
Yeah,
that's a Birnbaum's Best. Speaking of that, did you see Bob's poll that they released?
Oh, yeah. Illuminations won, I believe, right?
No, the poll, I'm not talking about that. He did a poll today that you voted on if you wanted to keep it the same, change it, or make it new.
Oh, I thought that was the, I didn't get a chance to read it, but I thought that he was talking about when he did his Best of Epcot poll earlier in the week.
No, that was, he put out there if you wanted to change, stay the same, change completely, stay the same or somewhat change, and 2/3 voted for it to either change or somewhat change. He was shocked by that.
Yeah, myself, I'd leave it alone, but that's me.
Yeah, I want the music to score still there. I don't mind if they tweak the fireworks, but I want the song the same.
Right.
If that makes sense. Like, I could live with, as long as you give me the drums at the beginning and some of the music, I would be okay with the changing of some of the fireworks.
Right. Oh, and we talked about this in depth. I mean, whether they could ever find another musical score that would match or exceed the one they have now, it would be tough. But, you know, I guess it's one of those things we'll never know until they try. Because I agree with you, Doug, that, you know, that music is, you know, I love all the, even the, you know, the pre-show, that music working
like
up
the,
to it.
Yeah, I like the guy telling you 10 minutes left to showtime.
In 10 minutes.
I'm happy with that, man. I'm like, shh, quiet, he's talking.
Right.
I got to hear him. But, he's telling you now it's 6 minutes. I don't care. I want to hear every minute go by.
I know.
Just a joke we have.
We say this all the time, but, you know, it's inevitable. It's going to change at some point, whether it's in 5 years or 50 years, it's going to change. So we got to come to grips with that, I guess.
I can't. I don't want it to, though, but I'll still love whatever they do, because I know they'll do something good. That's the one good thing about Disney. They do top themselves quite a bit.
Yes.
So in World Showcase, we only had the France movie and the American Adventures, Burn Bomb's Best, and Illuminations. And then up front, you only had Turtle Talk, Test Track, and Soarin'.
Yeah, I mean,
not many in Epcot.
Right. Living with the land, right?
Nope. Let's move over to the studios, my friend, and see what we agree with.
Okay.
Your favorite ride, then, the Twilight Zone Tower of Terror.
Yeah, I've been on that so many times. No, I'm only kidding.
But you know why? That's the flagship.
That's an attraction that you know, all the kids gravitate to, and you know, I understand why. It is a thrill ride in every sense of the word.
I hear you. Rock and Roller Coaster, we agree with that.
Yeah, that's a great ride, and I like it more than it likes me, I guess, with my getting up in age here. But I used to ride that, you know, 2-3 times in a row. I can't do it anymore. But
I'll be lucky to get that 2-3 times in a week trip now.
Yeah, no, that is a great ride, though. I really enjoy that.
Yeah, one time's enough for me on the week. I do like it, but the old body can't take it as much as it used to.
Yeah. Well, it, you know, and the connection with the, you know, the musical, you know, band there, Aerosmith. I mean, that's a favorite band of mine from when I was growing up. So, you know, that on top of it makes it, you know, twice as good, in my opinion.
Dream on. Oh, I'm sorry. Did you hear that?
Yeah. If it was themed to, you know, Britney Spears or something, I don't know if I'd like it as much. But
I did it again. Oh, my God.
All right.
Next up, Beauty and the Beast, Burn Bomb's Best, the live on stage. That's an awesome show.
It is.
Nobody sees it enough, though.
I don't know that well, yeah, I guess you're right, Doug. I mean, I
guarantee if you went there next trip, sat down and watched, it'd be like you watched it all. It would be brand new to you.
Yeah.
Because it's been so long since you've seen it.
Right. And we have seen it quite a few times because, you know, when the kids were smaller, you know, we were all chickens, the adults and the kids, so we never did Rock and Roller Coaster or Tower of Terror. So the only thing to really do on that street is eat or go see the Beauty and the Beast show, unless it's at night and you're going to Fantasmic. But so we actually saw that quite a bit over the years, especially in the early years that we went. But you are right. We haven't been in some time, and I think we ought to do that because I'm willing to bet it's not going to be around for too much longer. Maybe they'll change it out to one of the other movies or something like that.
Yeah, I think it'll be around until that park's done. Just because they have enough on their plate. But I know what you're saying. It's going to be changed out one of these days.
Yeah.
I've been saying that about Indiana Jones, too.
You're going to be right on that one. I think that's with the new information about the wide world of sports. That's their days are numbered for Mr. Jones.
They got Backlot Tour. Burn Bonds. I'm kidding.
I was going to say, what year is that?
This is the 97 book.
207 or something?
Yeah, Toy Story Midway Mania, which I agree with.
Yeah, I agree with that, too.
Agree with, believe it or not, they do not have the great movie ride as a Burn Bond's Best.
Yeah, that's an oversight, in my view.
Mine, too.
Yeah, I think that can appeal to a wide range of ages. I mean, you know, they got some of the old-time movies. They got some of the more current movies, you know, particularly now since the, you know, since it's been kind of, you know, not rethemed, but spruced up a bit with the AMC sponsoring the Pavilion.
Turner
now.
Classic Movies.
Yeah, TMC. Yeah, yep. I'll be all right.
That's okay. That's what I'm here for.
Yeah. No, but I mean, I think that can appeal, and, you know, I don't care how old you are, young you are. I mean, who doesn't like Wizard of Oz? I mean, some people think it's creepy, which I might agree with that. Yeah, some of them little, I was going to call them
Oompa Loompas.
Yeah, that's Willy Wonka.
Oh, they're Oompa Loompas to me. I'm sorry.
Yeah, but they are kind of creepy. You ever do that? I've done this. This is going to sound strange, but like if you go on the Great Movie Ride, just pick out one of them little dolls and just look at it the whole time, like from the minute you get into the room to you leave, and it's just freaky if you ever do that.
I hear you. It'll humanize it a little bit.
Yeah. You just to watch the way the mechanics work and how it, you know, moves with the music. It's pretty. I've done that the last couple times. I just pick one out because usually you always get fixated on the witch or, you know, something like that. But if just pick an obscure figure in that big wall of Oompa Loompas, as you said, and it entertains me anyways.
Absolutely. I love the great movie ride. And the last two at this park are Star Tours, The Adventure Continues, which I get that. With the redesigning of it and all. And then they still have Muppet Vision here as Birnbaum's best. Yeah. I love the Muppets, but I would have the great movie ride over the Muppets any day.
Yeah, I would too. But then again, I would say, you know, the 3D element of the Muppets.
It's a great ride. The rat in the beginning cracks me up.
Yeah.
Pretending to be Mickey Mouse, the pre-show. Yeah. That's all I need is the pre-show, and I'm good.
Yeah, with the tourists. Yeah. They don't know. Yeah, tourists.
Yeah, and then the old men in the balcony, me and you, Dan, it's a good time.
Oh, yeah. The Waldorf and Statler, I think his name is. Yeah, they are awesome. And hey, lady.
Yeah, they're
pretty good.
I do love the show. And then they got a great picture, even though it's not a best, but I have to comment on it. They got my Oscars tow truck sitting here. I'm happy.
Ah, there you go. Right out in the front of the park there.
Yep. My place, my station. And they have a Fantasmic as Birnbaum's best, which I've seen it a few times, but I should see that even more. I skipped that more than we should. It's actually a great show.
Yeah, and we've stated our reasons why, and I always use the analogy, if I could fly in with a helicopter, be lowered down into my seat a minute before the show started, and then reverse that at the end,
I would see it
every night.
Well, next time, do it, you should. It's on your, as we call it, we're going to start calling it here on the Main Street Podcast, as my wife calls it. She wants us to start calling it to be positive. We're going to call it the living list instead of the bucket list.
Okay, the living list.
Okay, on your living list, then, you need to put the Brown Derby and do the dinner show with Fantasmic for free.
Yeah.
So this way you don't have to worry about your seating.
Yeah, we've done that years ago. I forget if it was 50s. One of the restaurants, it obviously wasn't the Brown Derby because we've never eaten there, but we did do the package once. And, yeah, it's pretty good because you can, you know,
Yeah,
we enjoyed dinner and, you know, we didn't leave to start to go to Fantasmic to, like, you know, 10 minutes before the show, and it was nice. They brought us right down to our seats, you know, 10, 15 minutes ahead of the show starting, and we didn't have to wait very long. And where they seated us then, and I don't know if they still do, but it was kind of down on the right if you're looking at the Fantasmic stage set, and you're pretty close to the, you know, the door they let you out there. Actually where your tow truck is right there, you know, you get out that way.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it was, we were out first and, you know, got one of the first buses, and that is convenient if you do the dinner package, absolutely.
Yeah, so that makes gives you an excuse to book it at the Brown Derby.
There you go, no excuses now.
Nope. So let's mosey on over to my park and your park now, too, the Animal Kingdom.
All right.
First up, it's tough to be a bug, which I agree with that.
That's
probably my favorite 3D show.
Yeah, and I think it kind of gets shorted in that, you know, the show itself is great enough if it was just in a normal theater, but when you really sit there and think about the fact that you're underneath the Tree of Life and how the animators, you know, created the underground caverns and all the movie posters.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just such a unique
I'm amazed every time I'm in there just thinking that whole thing's an oil rig.
Yeah, I mean,
an upside down oil rig is what it is.
When we really think about it, I mean, like, you know, Muppets is for the most part in a, you know, rectangular brick building. It's nothing fancy about it. But this thing, not only is it a, you know,
even the waiting area is cool. And then as you're going in, I get passed all the time because I'm looking at the tree.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, everybody, that might be the best queue on property that nobody ever mentions.
Right, because you're right. Unless you go on that ride and you're in that queue, you get a chance to see some of the animal carvings on the tree that you can't see from anywhere else in the park.
You touch them as you're walking up.
Yep.
I mean, it's amazing. That whole walking area, as it wraps around and with all the foliage and the trees and the little fences and all, that queue's amazing, and I don't ever hear anybody mention that, but the Tree of Life is your cue. That's incredible. Then when you get down inside, I feel like a termite.
Yeah. It is one of the more unique, show buildings, if you will.
And I'll still remember my stepfather screaming like a little girl when the spider came down. And that's the God's honest truth. That man is a truck driver, tough as nails, afraid to death as a spider. He's like an elephant with a mouse coming in the room.
That never gets old, because regardless of how many times you've been, there's always first timers there. And when you're exiting the theater and they run that air jet or whatever they do to create the illusion that there's bugs crawling under your seat. I mean, you see people, women screaming, kids running, and to your point, even some men.
Exactly. And one of the tips is, if you got a relative in a wheelchair or a scooter and you take them on this ride, if they can get out, if they're capable of sitting on the seats, make them sit on the seats, because half the attraction is what happens with the seats and stuff.
Yeah, that's a good point, because many people can transfer, only for 10 or 15 minutes, and you'd be robbed of that the joy of seeing that person be surprised with the ending there.
Exactly, and that's it with few of the rides. If you can transfer, do it. The same thing was when, remember, Honey, I Shrunk the Audience?
Yep, same deal there.
You wouldn't feel the mice.
Right.
And certain water and stuff like that. So if you can transfer, if you're not incapacitated, which I understand. I mean, but if, like my dad with his bad back, I made him get in on the chair because I wanted him to experience it.
Right. No, that was being a good son.
Yes. I mean, his back was hurt. It was. I had to help him in and out, but he was fidgeting with me, being, oh, come on. But then when I did it at the end, I was pushing him, he goes, that was cool. Thanks. So, yeah, if you can get people in and out, like if they have a broken leg or something, and if there's a way to get them on the seat, let them enjoy the complete ride, the complete show, I mean.
Absolutely.
So they also have Kilimanjaro Safari, which is 100% agreeable.
Yep.
Festival of the Lion King. I agree with that, too.
Absolutely.
We're Expedition Everest.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. It's not one of my favorite attractions, only because of
I get it.
Yeah, it's a world-class, attraction. No doubt about it.
No, I agree with this, too. Maharaja Jungle Trek?
I do. Tigers are
I agree 100%. I don't agree that they don't have Flights of Wonder as a Burman's best. I'll let them pass on that.
Yeah.
There's no Primeval World or Chester and Hester Dinorama, I'll tell you that much.
Rightfully so.
Or Triassophus, and none of them get any of it.
Good.
I think I'm going to put the Burn Bomb's worst stamp on them. Dinosaurs get Burn Bomb's best, which I agree with.
Yep, I agree too.
So that's all the ones. They don't have Finding Nemo the Musical. I thought maybe they'd have that. And that's about it. They don't have anything with River of Lights yet.
Yeah, I mean, this is, you obviously have the 2016 edition there,
exactly.
Right?
The
but I mean, if be honest, it was probably printed and put together, at least late 2015. So any of these new attractions, we'll be lucky if they hit the book. Well, yeah, some of them will hit next year.
They have it in here. They have it mentioned, but they don't have anything,
right,
on it yet, because they haven't experienced it yet. That's the
reason
why. So that's it for the parks. So let's go in. They have, and we'll cover these because there's a ton of them. We'll have a little fun with these, and we'll blow through what they have. It's called the Burn Bombs restaurant, as my dad used to call it, restaurant. He used to call it a restaurant. Let's go out to the restaurant. So the restaurant roundup, we're going to call it.
Okay.
They have the top WDW restaurants for families with kids,
families with kids.
And I'll read them off to you.
Okay.
I want to count backwards. I'm going to go from the last one to the number one that they have.
Okay.
The last one, they have the Wave of an American Flavor. They have Via Napoli. They got Tusker House. They got T-Rex. Sci-Fi Dine-In Theater. Rainforest Cafe. 1900 Park Fair. The Garden Grill. 50s Primetime Cafe. Crystal Palace. Cinderella's Royal Table. Chef Mickey's. Cape May Cafe, and Boma is the number one Flavors of Africa.
Wow. What a bizarre list. I mean, there's so many restaurants you named off there, and I'm thinking with kids. I mean, the T-Rexes and the Chef Mickey's and all that makes total sense to me.
Well, a lot of these, too, as you'll know, and we're going to do this on another show, is with the character dining, but a lot of these, 1900 Park Fair, Garden Grill, Crystal Palace, Cinderella's Royal Table, Chef Mickey's, Cake and Cafe. There's a trend. They all have character dining.
Character. Yeah. Okay. So that I agree.
Tusker House. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Via Napoli, everybody likes Italian food. So
yeah,
I can see that too.
The pizza families. Yep. I get that too.
So, and the 50s prime time, you're having fun.
Yep.
But basically, 80% of these, me and you're staying away from.
Yeah.
But the key thing here is it's with kids.
Right. Yeah, Bohm is an interesting choice with a number one overall. I mean, I know it has a tremendous, you know, array of food.
Mac and cheese, buddy. It's supposed to be the best mac and cheese on property. The kids' menu there is very, very good.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, you're right. That's shocking. You'd think Chef Mickey's would be one.
Yeah, I mean, just as a default. I mean, you know, who doesn't like hanging out with Mickey Mouse and getting that photo op? But, you know, I can't complain. I mean, I love Bulma, so I'm not unhappy that it made number one. But I would have thought that would have made it in maybe one of the other categories, not necessarily the best ones for kids.
Now they have with kids quick service.
Uh-oh.
Which, Sunshine Seasons. Sunset Ranch Market, Pinocchio Village House, Pecos Bill's Cafe, Liberty Inn, Epcot. I don't even know how that made a list. Flame Tree Barbecue, Everything Pop, Earl of Sandwich, Cooks of Dublin, but they did rate my guy, the Columbia Harbor House, number one.
Well, I can't argue with that.
No. I mean, here, I did Columbia, Cooks of Dublin and Earl of Sandwich are all good. Everything Pop is good. Flame Tree Barbecue is good. Liberty Inn, no. Pecos Bill's, no. Pinocchio Village, yes. Sunset Ranch Market, I can honestly say I've barely ever been in there.
Right, right.
And Sunshine Seasons, I like it. I love it, and I'll probably like it a lot now everything's under construction next time I'm down there.
Exactly.
So.
Yeah, counter service is kind of tough. Man, that Electric Umbrella didn't get in again.
Nope.
No respect.
Dude, I forget that even exists. I've been
in
there one time when my brother never went back.
Yeah,
and do you remember the only bad burger I've ever had on property that was unedible? Was it? You ever remember a little stand called Goofy's Grill at Downtown Disney?
Yeah, you've told this story before.
Oh my God, that thing was like eating a hockey puck.
I remember you saying that was before that Captain Jack's was there, you said, or something like that.
Yeah, it was around, like, it was the very first year. I mean, it wasn't before, but it was right in front of Captain Jack's. It was a little.
See, I don't remember it and where we went the first year, even though we didn't know each other then. It was, I'm glad you avoided it. There. Yeah, it was there, I'm sure.
Yeah, it was.
I just don't remember it.
So let's go. Best kids' meal presentation. There's only one in this one.
Best kids' meal presentation. Chef Mickey.
Nope. Old Port Royal, a Caribbean beach resort. The meal comes in a sand bucket with a shovel.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that, so.
So if your kids are going to go eat, if you're at Caribbean Beach, go over to Old Port Royal and they can get a bucket with a shovel. That's pretty cool, though.
Yeah, you know why? Because a kid would really, you know, it would be so bizarre that they would enjoy that. And then they could go outside and play in the sand all around the, you know, the waterway there.
Absolutely. So I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Best place to celebrate a child's birthday?
I had no idea.
Chef Mickey's. You would have been right if you'd have guessed that this time.
I should have kept going.
And runner-up is Mickey's Backyard Barbecue at Fort Wilderness.
Yeah, I've never done that.
Best fireworks view.
View.
Yeah.
That's got to be the Contemporary.
Yep, California Grill, buddy.
Yep.
Best vegetarian meal.
Vegetarian. The Wave.
Yep, GECO, the cooking place. Animal Kingdom Lodge Resort. Okay, here we go. We're going to go best splurge for grown-ups. What do you think was best place for grown-ups?
California Grill.
Big-time splurge. Think super splurge.
Victorian Outlets.
Very good. They should have it as out of everybody else's price range. And then the runner-ups are the Boathouse.
Ooh.
That was rated number one of the real resorts. I'll count backwards like I've been doing.
All right.
Yachtsman, one, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight. They have eight runner-ups.
And this is big splurge for adults.
Yes, best splurge for grown-ups.
Okay.
Number eight is Yachtsman Steakhouse. Very good. You drafted this at your park, Monsieur Paul.
Yeah.
GECO, the cooking place, the Animal Kingdom.
Makes sense.
It's two Milano, New York Trattoria at the Swan.
Okay.
Or Trattoria. The Flying Fish Cafe. Citrus Coast at number 3, California Grill at number 2, and Boathouse at number 1.
Wow, the Boathouse. So, by splurge, you know, that's a fancy way to say expensive.
Yes. Big night out for the family. All these, every one of those 8 are in the same price range.
Yeah. And they're all awesome restaurants.
Absolutely.
I mean, there's not one there that I would say I would be caught dead, you know, eating there. I mean, I'd eat at any one of them, especially if someone else was paying the bill.
Absolutely. Best dinner show.
Hoop-de-doo review.
Very good. Runner-up.
The luau at the Polynesian.
Mickey's Backyard Barbecue.
Okay.
It's more of a big informal party than a show, complete with a kicking country band, games for the kids, a line dancing with Disney characters, the self-serve all-you-can-eat barbecue fare is plentiful, presented at Fort Wilderness. Sounds like a good time. Does it?
Yeah, I gotta get over to that one. That's one that we have not done yet.
Best pizza for grown-ups.
Via Napoli.
That's number 2. Number 1 is Blaze Pizza at Disney Springs. Have you tried this yet?
Disney Springs, but no, I don't think it was open when we were there last time.
Well, they rated that number 1.
Okay.
Best pizza for kids.
Pizza Planet.
That's number 2. You keep getting number 2. Pizza Fari is number 1 at Animal Kingdom.
Oh, okay.
I get that. Sense. A Pizza Fari is a lot better than Pizza Planet.
Yeah, I think anything's better than Pizza Planet.
Yeah, Pizza Planet, it's a big Elio's to me.
Yeah, exactly.
Best Fixins Bar, you'll get this one.
Pico's Bills.
Very good. Best room service.
Best room service? Mm-hmm. Hotel we're talking now?
No, we're not talking the bathroom.
Grand Floridian.
Nope, Yacht and Beach Club Resorts.
Okay.
Best buy as far as food.
No idea.
Charles End Restaurant at Pioneer Hall in Fort Wilderness and Boma, Animal Kingdom Lodge. Huh. Best Italian fare.
Yeah.
Very good. That's number 1. And then they have the Milanio New York Trattoria at the Swan Resort. Portobello at Disney Springs. I think that's an underrated restaurant.
Yep.
And Trattoria Al Forno at the Boardwalk.
Yeah, we ate there last trip, the trip before, and I would highly recommend that. It's a nice restaurant.
Best theme restaurant.
Best themed restaurant, T-Rex.
No, that's number 3.
Ooh. How about the one in Mexico there where the boats come through?
No, not Los Angeles Inn, no.
Okay.
Think of fun. What's the best? What do we always rave about?
Ohana.
No, fun. I don't have
fun
at all. It's okay. But
they have a karaoke person.
I understand that. But I'm talking about with kids, the whole nine yards. What's our number 1 rated restaurant for having fun with the family? Good old-fashioned meat and potatoes.
Hoop-de-doo review.
No, 50s prime time.
Oh, yeah.
Come on.
Yeah, easy for you to get the book in front of
you. Come on, I'm trying to feed you hints. If we were playing a game, we'd be getting killed here, Denny. Number 2 is the Sci-Fi Dine-In Theater.
Oh, that's not a bad choice either.
Best outdoor dining.
Outdoor dining. I'm drawing a blank on an outdoor dining. The fish chip place at the United Kingdom.
Nah.
Yeah.
Big River Grill and Brewing Company is
Ooh.
Number 2. Number 1 is the Boathouse.
Outdoor. Yeah, they do have outdoor seating. I can see that.
Damn, they're racking it up here. Best seafood.
Best seafood, Fulton's.
Nope, that's number 3. Number 1 is the Boathouse again. Best
wow.
seafood.
They must have wrote a nice check to Burma. They're getting all kinds of action
uh-huh.
here.
Number 1's Boathouse. Number 2 is the Flying Fish Cafe, Fulton's Crab House, and Norcosi's.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Best crab cakes.
The Crabless crab cake at the Food and Wine Festival 2 years ago.
Nope. Best crab cakes.
I have no idea.
The Boathouse.
Oh.
They're running it up here. Number 2 is the Stone Crab Lounge at Fulton's Crab House and the Wave of American Flavors of Contemporary.
Now, see, crab cakes and the Wave, I wouldn't correlate those two things.
Well, next time we're down there, we might have to sneak up at the bar and just order some crab cakes and a beer. I'm in.
We'll shoot over there on the monorail, grab them, and
tell me that ain't a great idea. You're in the park, hot day, run over, grab a beer at the Wave, and get a couple crab cakes. I'm in.
See, and I'm writing this one down. I am going to do that. On the live list it goes.
Yeah, the living list. That's the new living name. The Walt WDW Main Street Living List.
We'll just shorten it to LL.
Absolutely. The old LL. But don't that sound better than the bucket list?
Yeah, it does have a negative connotation
to
it.
Yes, we're going to do it. We're going to live a little. It's called the living list.
All right.
Best Bloody Mary.
Daiwa Bar at Animal Kingdom.
Stone Crab Lounge, Full Crab House. Best all-around WDW restaurant. This is going to shock you. It shocks me. I get
Tony's
to go over there.
On Main Street, USA.
No way. You know,
I'm trying.
Not that shocking. We just
be
mentioned
our guest.
No, believe it or not, guest. They say the best all-around restaurant is The Wave.
Really?
Yep. your voice went high. Yep.
That's not right.
But what they're trying to say is price-wise, it's everything combined. If you want to take kids, everything combined, they're saying The Wave is the best. They're not saying it's the best, like the priciest or the best. Like they pick the Boathouse, but they're saying all around, if you take all the different criteria into consideration, they're saying The Wave's the best.
Well, then I definitely got to get to The Wave because I've never eaten there, and I got to get over there.
Best steak.
Yachtsman.
Very good. Number two is Le Cellier. Number three, believe it or not, the Flying Fish Cafe. Not that there's anything wrong with it, but they rate their steak number three.
I thought you were going to say the Boathouse.
They gave the Boathouse a break. That ship has sailed.
Yeah.
Best sushi.
Splitsville.
Nope, that ain't even right on the list, Bob.
See, Bob, I'm trying. In all seriousness, let's go with Kona, Sushi Bar at Kona.
That's actually three. Kimono's at the Swan Resort is rated number one.
Huh?
California Grill is number two. And number three is Kona Cafe. And this Kimono's is pretty cool. It has a karaoke bar in it, too.
Oh, boy.
Which is, you can have some fun.
Do you partake in karaoke? Or?
Just laughing at people.
Yeah, that's what I would do.
Okay.
I'd have to have a few Bloody Marys before I could get up and even think about doing that.
Absolutely. I'd have to have more than a Bloody Mary, buddy. Best ice cream.
Beaches and Cream.
Very good. Ding, 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 ding. La Artisine des Glaces is number two.
Okay. Over in Epcot,
absolutely.
Yeah.
And Plaza Restaurant at the Magic Kingdom is number
three.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah, I can see that.
Yep. Best sports bar.
ESPN Club.
Very good. They don't even have Honor Mentions. They just have that.
Oh, it was it?
Yep. It's a little side one. Best coffee.
Best coffee. I'm going to pick the Starbucks on Main Street.
They actually have multiple locations. It's actually rated fourth.
Really?
The Flying Fish Cafe is the best coffee on property. They rate Kona Cafe second, Boma's third, Starbucks fourth, and then Ghirardelli's fifth.
Okay. I just want a disclosure here, because in case they're listening, I'm 99.9% sure that the coffee they serve at the Flying Fish is the, now I'm not going to think of the name. What's the name of that coffee place that the other podcast there? There's
Joffrey's?
A sponsor of theirs. Yes, because I know I ordered a couple of pounds of coffee a year or so ago when they first came out, and Flying Fish Coffee is what they one of the choices they offered. So I am going to say that Joffrey's actually is number one coffee on property because that's what they serve at the Flying Fish. I'm positive.
Well, maybe they did a Flying Fish blend.
Yeah, they did. It's literally the pound bag of coffee. It said Flying Fish Cafe right on it. It was awesome.
There you go. Well, you agree with
them. Awesome. I do.
Best milkshake.
Sci-fi dining.
No, Beaches and Cream again. Number two is Min and Bill's Dockside Diner at the Hollywood Studios.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Yep. Best. I would go with the peanut butter and jelly one over at the 50s Primetime myself.
I would too.
I turned you on to that.
That is awesome.
Best fresh baked cookies.
Writer's Stone.
Very good. Ding, 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 ding.
Ooh.
And we're going to miss that.
Yeah, we won't be able to say that next year if we do this.
And Main Street Bakery was number two.
Okay.
Best character meal.
Best character meal. Chef Mickey's.
Chef Mickey's was three. Number one is Cinderella's Royal Table. Number two is Our Christmas Royal Banquet Hall at Epcot at Norway. Chef Mickey's three, Garden Grill four, and 1900 Park Fair is five. And then the last one of all, best resort snack bar.
Best resort snack bar.
And I have to agree with this. And I've eaten here, and you probably have. I know you haven't.
Yeah, I'm drawing a blank.
The Peekaboo over at the Swan Resort, at the Dolphin Resort. It used to be called Tubby's.
Is that the one that's open 24 hours a day?
Yes.
I have eaten there once.
It is. It's a little pricier than your normal one, but everything they do is so fresh and awesome there, and the way they make it. It's a really nice restaurant or snack bar. And then runner-up is Captain Cook's at the Polynesian.
Ooh, that's a good one.
And
too.
Contempo Cafe at the Contemporary.
Yeah. I love the Contempo Cafe. Just you can grab anything in there. I've been there many, 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 many times over the years.
Yeah, absolutely. So I highly recommend you guys pick up this book for all the tips and all the different insight, and the pictures are beautiful, and you get some coupons in the back with the book, you know, for different things, you know, to go at Downtown Disney and
Disney Springs, you mean?
Yeah, Disney Springs. We'll be calling it that for the rest of forever.
Yes.
But, you know, they have different coupons for different things. I really enjoy the book. I'll pick this book up. Dude, we did the draft. That's what I used for the draft. It was kind of like my fantasy football index.
Yeah, no, it's a good thinking on your part, because it has every single attraction, every restaurant, and, you know, you got to jog your memory, sometimes you lose track of where places are. It shows a nice glossy picture of most of them, so yeah, it's a great resource for, you know, even the experienced Walt Disney World traveler. Good to have that book around.
So I just thought that would be fun. You had a good time doing that, didn't you?
It's a nice light show, and it's nice to get back to some basics without any... No heavy thinking here. Not that we do too much of that anyways.
That gets us in trouble all the time.
Yeah, exactly. Overanalyzing. But no, it was a fun show.
But I highly recommend, if you're going to go on a Disney vacation, it's worth the $20 to grab that Birnbaum's book. I mean, it's even when you're back at the room at night, it's just nice to flip through it.
Absolutely.
You know, and you don't always have to be on the iPad or the iPhone and read a little. It does good.
Exactly.
So that's going to be it then. Guys, please go over to iTunes and leave us a review. We'd really, really appreciate it. Me and you both did our job. We left our buddies over at the Mickey Dudes Reviews, so check them out.
Oh, yes.
They're our friends over there. And follow us on Twitter at Grumpy67 and at Oak Manor. And don't forget our good buddy Beer Solo. He's out there drinking a beer and cooking barefoot on the grill somewhere. We will catch you guys on the next show, and have a very great evening. Bye, Dan.
See you later.
Bye-bye.
Bye, Dan.
I'm buying, buddy. Well, guys, that's going to be it. Me and Den's going to hop off our stools, pay our tab, and get on out of here. This show is brought to you by our fine sponsors, American Tourist Travel. For all your travel needs, contact American Tourist Travel at 856-227-9200. If you need a nice home in the Central Florida area to go visit Disney, Universal, or any of the fine amusement parks, and you want to stay outside the parks, contact the Elite Vacation Homes at 888-510-6679. They have a home to fit any size family. If you need a scooter in the Central Florida area, contact Scooter Vacations at 855-939-7266. And if you want to rent a vacation club on Disney property, contact David's Vacation Club Rentals at 800-610-5791. And you can also find all of our fine sponsors at our website at www.magicalmainstreetmemories.com. And please, guys, go give us a review over on iTunes. That's going to be it. Thanks again, and thanks for listening. We will see you next time. Bye-bye.